Welcome to the show. It's great to be back on here with Alyssa Barbieri for our latest off-season edition of the Bears Wire podcast. And believe me when I tell you, we've got a lot to cover and a lot to get off our chests. Ryan O'Leary here playing host. Just a quick note to our listeners that leading up to the draft and beyond, the best way to keep up with our latest content is to subscribe to the pod on your favorite platform. We appreciate your support and hope you stick with us because there is so much more to come. But as I mentioned, we have a lot to get to. Alyssa, she's the managing editor of USA Today's Bears Wire. Hey, Alyssa, how you doing with all this stuff? How you holding up over the last couple weeks?
I'm exhausted. It's been a long week. It's only been a week and it's felt like it's been an entire month at least. It's just, there has been so much news to cover and we knew that this was going to be a really busy off season for the Bears, and it just kind of all came to a head all at once. So it's been fun. It's been exciting, but it's also been very busy. So we have a lot to talk about because I feel like we haven't talked in a while. And we could probably do a 3-hour show, but don't worry, guys. We won't keep you here that long. But there's literally that much to talk about with this team.
Yeah, we try not to go too overboard with the length of the podcast, but this one might be a little lengthy.
We get lengthy.
Yeah, we do. Our pre-show preamble is always lengthy, which people aren't privy to. But the Justin Fields thing is over, right? We finally have the outcome. Alyssa, he is now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bears move him. They get a conditional 6th-round pick in return. That's it. For me, just how I feel, just off the cuff, it feels like I've been watching this great show for months, and I've been really into it, and I've been waiting for the ending, and then I just feel really underwhelmed by the ending. You know, how you get those shows where you're really into it, and then the ending is kind of like, that really didn't do the show justice. That's kind of how I feel about the ending of the whole Justin Fields thing with the Bears, right? Just him leaving, the way it went down, the compensation, all of it. It's just super underwhelming to me. How you feel about it?
We've had plenty of time, right, to get used to this. I think from the moment that they got the number one pick, I think everyone had an idea that they were going to lean Caleb Williams, and 99.9% chance that the Bears will be drafting Caleb Williams next month, barring some catastrophe. But, you know, I've had plenty of time to get used to it. We all knew it was coming, but it still doesn't make it any easier because I still remember the night that the Bears drafted Justin Fields. I remember I was jumping up and down, screaming.
It was a party.
Yeah, it was a party. And I know my neighbors do remember it as well. Because they had to stick with me, but it just felt like that this was finally going to be the turning point in this franchise, that Fields was going to be the guy that was going to break the quarterback curse that has been in place for decades since the 40s with Sid Luckman. And I mean, it all seemed so promising in the moment, but I think even back then we could see that maybe, especially with Ryan, like when they transitioned from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace into Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles. Oh my goodness, almost got their names mixed up.
Well done.
But like, I think we knew that it was going to be rough and it wasn't the most ideal situation for a quarterback, but it's like, okay, no, Justin, he's good. He's going to be that good that he's going to be able to overcome that. And unfortunately, I think that the Bears failed him. I mean, it just from the start when you saw with Matt Nagy and like the how that entire situation was handled, from not letting him compete to be the starter to then suddenly throwing him to the wolves in week 3 without an actual game plan to support him and with a terrible offensive line against the best defense in the NFL. And just, he was just eaten alive. And then just the handling of both offensive coordinators with Matt Nagy and then Luke Getsy eventually just not building an offense around Fields and not being able to utilize his skill set. The Bears just have not been able to develop quarterbacks. And I think that's been a lot of when you hear all these things about, oh, Caleb Williams should, you know, refuse to play for the Bears and all this stuff. And they always point to the fact that the Bears haven't developed a quarterback. And I mean, that's true. But I think when you look at, and we'll get to this later, I know I'm getting kind of off the tangent, but I think it's a different situation. And we'll talk about that later than what Justin Fields came into. So I do think that a couple of things can be true, that the Bears, first, they did fail him, but then at the same time, the Bears couldn't pass on Caleb Williams this year. It's just, when you're Ryan Poles and your job's on the line, you didn't draft Justin Fields. You have an opportunity to take this top prospect in Caleb Williams. Justin didn't show enough improvement in his third season, but it was rough too, because you look at what he came into in year one, when the plan was to sit him behind Andy Dalton for the entire season. That didn't happen. Then you make the transition in year two, and he has to learn an entirely new offense that takes a couple of years to really get, to really just kind of get used to and to truly understand it. And in year three, he does go out there and he shows improvement, but I mean, it just feels like it wasn't enough. I mean, I think Justin is good enough to be a starter in this league, which is crazy when you look at how free agency went about and all these guys, like watching all these veterans be signed instead of teams going out there and trading for Fields. Like maybe the price was too high. Maybe Poles is really high on that. But I can tell you, like, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback in the NFL. I hope that he really gets an opportunity to be that again. But in terms of Chicago, it just feels, again, like wasted potential, unfortunately. And it's not all his fault, which is the sad thing.
No, it's not all his fault. I mean, some of it's his fault, right? There's blame to go around, and Justin could have elevated the situation. But I think you nailed it a lot. You said the Bears failed him. I agree with that. The plan was to sit him. You said that in your commentary there, Alyssa. Yes, right? That people forget. The plan was to sit him. Remember Matt Nagy? Andy's our quarterback. Andy's our QB1. Like
You remember that tweet?
QB1
tweet? Oh, QB1. My God.
And we were yelling at him, no, put in Fields. And Bears fans were yelling at him, no, put in Fields, because we were so excited that we had this great prospect. But Nagy probably had it right, Alyssa, right? He shouldn't listen to us. He should do what he thinks is right. He was the head coach. He was running the offense, all that. He probably knew Justin needs to develop. We need to do this right. Andy's our quarterback. Justin's our backup. But what happened? He was so hitched to Justin Fields. He was trying to save his own job. So like you said, he threw him to the wolves when he probably wasn't ready. And that set off this spiral now you're changing regimes and you have Luke Getsy coming in and a defensive-minded head coach and Matt Eberflus, and that doesn't work. And never mind, your number one receiver is Darnell Mooney there in your second year. Like, it spiraled. And I agree. Yeah, Fields was not put in a great position to succeed. He might have been put in a good position to succeed this year, Alyssa, but now he's a Steeler.
Absolutely.
Now he's a Steeler. We'll get to that. One reporter who I think has just been a great read and a great listen is ESPN's Courtney Cronin. Here's what she wrote or said when the news broke. I just want to play this audio real quick as we continue the conversation.
Well, Gary, when 31 other teams are calling the Bears bluff, it made things difficult to find a team that was going to be willing to give them what they had wanted, which going into the NFL Combine was a day two pick and then some conditional picks potentially the following year. They weren't able to find anybody to meet them at that price. And you'll hear Ryan Poles have said, we want to do right by Justin Fields if we go the route of trading him. And that comes down to doing right by Fields and also doing right by the rookie quarterback that they're going to be bringing into the building next month. It would have been an untenable situation to have two quarterbacks under the age of 25 in the building and all of the drama and the circus that would be around what training camp practices looked like and even before that at OTA. So the Bears decided that they wanted a clean slate for everyone involved. And the reason that they took this trade offer from the Pittsburgh Steelers after having what I was told was an offer to send Justin to a place where there was already an established starting quarterback that would have actually yielded the Bears a better deal in return. It's about doing right by Justin Fields and giving him the opportunity to go continue his career somewhere else.
So there's Courtney Cronin of ESPN. I think folks should definitely be checking her stuff out. I think she's been all over this, Alyssa, from before the deal went down to after. She's had some really good insight on what's going on. And she says point blank there, the Bears had other offers. They had better compensation on the table, but in the end, they wanted to do right by Justin Fields. That was the whole thing. And this is why they end up with just a conditional 6th-round pick. Again, as she said earlier, they went in there hoping to get a package of picks centered around a day two pick in 2025. But instead, they end up with a conditional 6th-round pick in 2025, and that's it. It could elevate to a 4th based on playing time with the Steelers. But this whole idea of doing right by Fields, I think, Alyssa, this is the part that I think the Bears are, it almost feels like they're trying to come out smelling like roses, but I think this reeks to high heaven. You know what I mean? Like this comes across hypocritical to me, because like I said before, I hit play on that piece of audio. You just beefed up your roster with names like Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. You added some offensive line help. You added some depth at tight end. You just re-signed a cornerstone on defense in Jalen Johnson. You revamped the offensive coaching staff. You got rid of Luke Getsy. You brought in Shane Waldron. Like, you have created the kind of situation, as you were saying, that Justin Fields has never had. And this is when you trade him for a conditional 6-round pick. Like, the compensation, I think, is kind of embarrassing for Justin. He gets traded for just a conditional 6-round pick, and you're moving him at a time where you're going to bring in you're going to create a situation for the next guy like Justin never had. So for me to be like, hey, we're doing right by Justin, we want to do what's best for him, that comes across super hypocritical. And that's where the kind of the PR spin around this, I understand the move. Moving on from Fields and drafting Caleb Williams and starting over, that whole thing makes perfect sense to me. I'm not ripping the Ryan Poles or the Bear. I understand that. But this whole like spinning, like the we're doing right by Justin Fields and putting that out in the media, Lissa, that smells to me. That's where you lose me a little bit, Chicago Bears. You know what I mean? Like, you've never done right by Justin. Let's be honest. Like this, and you're not doing it now. That's where they lose me a little bit in this whole story.
Well, I disagree a little bit there that they haven't done right by him before. Like, when, you know, obviously with Ryan Poles coming in, he inherited just an absolute mess of a situation. And we knew that he had to tear the entire thing down and then build it back up. And unfortunately, Fields was already here while that was happening. So he was subjected to, you know, some of the poor supporting cast around him there in year two. But then in year three, when you go out there and you trade that number one pick and you acquire DJ Moore and you get a franchise right tackle in Tarnell Wright, and you go and you add pieces elsewhere, I think that definitely helps. But it's not like this situation this year is just, it's the best that it's been in a very long time here. And like you said, it's a business. I understand the move entirely. And that's why I don't think anyone's really surprised that it happened. I think the compensation, as you said, was the biggest surprise, especially kind of going back to parts of the offseason where there were some guys who was it? We were talking about this before. Was it Mel Kiper who thought that they could get a round one pick?
Yes.
A first round pick, yes, for him, like a late first rounder. I'm like, come on, that we even knew was silly. But I think like a day two pick was the expectation. And seeing that the rest of the NFL doesn't feel that way. I think there are different factors in play there too. I think the fact that he is entering his fourth year, and then you have that fifth year option on the table. Cause yeah, this year he was only going to count $6 million against the cap, but then you have to extend him, or you have to exercise that fifth year option. So it's kind of like, for some teams, it could be a 1 year rental and you're not going to be willing to give up substantial draft capital for that. So that makes sense. And I think that's gotta be a holdup. I think we were texting about this when it happened. It's just like, it made no sense, the compensation, when someone like Kenny Pickett is getting greater draft compensation with the trade to the Eagles. It just doesn't line up. So like, I feel, cause obviously he has, he's not entering the fourth year of his rookie deal. So there's plenty of time there that you have. So I think that played a big part of it. I don't think it's more that they view him as a backup. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think he's a backup quarterback. I don't, like I said before, I think he's a starting quarterback in this league, and he's definitely better than some of the starting quarterbacks and quarterbacks that will be starting come week one. So, I mean, the whole situation, I don't think too that they did wrong by him. Like the whole doing right by him when Ryan Poles was talking about that. And like, that's the thing, like that's the one part people are glomming onto is the do right by Justin. It wasn't do right by Justin necessarily in Chicago. It was the do right by Justin if we opt to trade him. And so if you're opting to trade him, which I think everyone expected, even Justin to a point, like if you're doing right by him, you're going to make sure you're not just going to send him any old way. You want to make sure that you're setting him up for success. And Ryan Poles cares about him. And we've seen that from Poles, a former player. He's made it clear that, you know, the relationships there are an important part of that, but it is also a business. So he cares about him. So he wanted to put him in a situation where he will have an opportunity to succeed. He listened to Justin. He wanted to go to Pittsburgh. I wonder if that other place was the Eagles. Because when Courtney was talking about that, how it was a team with an established starter already, that you would have gotten more draft compensation.
It's a good one.
So I wonder if like the Eagles were that, because we saw the trade with Kenny Pickett, and then that also freed up Pittsburgh to go out and get Fields too. So it's interesting. But in terms of, you know, I think doing right by, you know, Ryan Poles wanted to. I think that's why you look back at Caleb Williams and his top 30 visit. That was supposed to be right after the combine last month. Because I think that they wanted to have a good sense as soon as possible that they were 100% going to move forward with Caleb Williams and then have to move on from Fields so that they could make a move before free agency. And unfortunately, that didn't pan out. And we saw the first week had to kind of go through and all these veterans getting signed. And I think it didn't pan out the way that Ryan Poles had envisioned it. But I mean, I do think that Poles kind of listening to Fields and sending him someplace that he thought was best for him. The Steelers are a stable organization. First off, it's a complete 180 from the Bears, which is nice. I think that I know Russell Wilson's supposed to be the starter, but I think there'll be an opportunity for him to start and to play significantly. I think that will go a long way in the locker room too. Like, guys notice stuff like that, these players in the locker room. Also, which I know we'll talk about later, signing Jalen Johnson, right? Someone who's established himself here, who's worked hard, who has earned a contract extension, who's gotten paid. I think things like that, Ryan Poles, are showing that, yes, this is a business, but he also does care about those players in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. The Jalen Johnson thing, I can't agree with you more. That's the message you want to be sending, right? Draft, develop, and we're going to re-sign our best guys. That's exactly how you should be doing it. And we'll give some thoughts on Jalen here coming up. I thought you made some great points about the field stuff. Do you find it convenient at all, though, Alyssa, that the Bears, quote unquote, you know, do right by Justin? I keep, you know, I'm glomming onto that like everybody else. Sorry, I can't help myself. I'm glomming onto that as Same. Well as I try to get this stuff off my chest. And it might be a little irrational at times. This is why you're here to put me in my place. But isn't it convenient that the Bears, as Courtney Cronin said in that clip, went into this thinking, we're going to get this great package of picks for Justin Fields. We're going to get, you know, multiple picks, probably hopefully a day two pick in 2025. That'll be the centerpiece of the deal. The market isn't even close to that. And what happened to that market? We could talk about that. I have a theory on that. But when they realize we're not going to get close to this, we're not even going to get, you know, more than a fourth round pick. Maybe the Eagles did call with that same offer that they ended up getting Pickett for, right? The fourth round pick thing. Yeah. Maybe that's the best deal they ended up with. And they're like, no, we'll work with Justin. But isn't it convenient that when they didn't get the offer they originally thought they were going to get, that they then turned around and let Justin pick his spot? Like, if they would have got the offer from the Patriots, say, who apparently they'd rather go with Jacoby Brissett as their bridge quarterback, Alyssa, than Justin Fields, I guess. My Patriots. Don't agree with that one. They're Gerard Mayo in the past, but oh well. Would have loved the Patriots to call the Bears, but apparently they didn't. But if the Patriots called and said, hey, we're going to give you our second round pick next year and a fifth this year or something like that, do you think the Bears pull the trigger on that deal? Even if Fields is like, I don't want to be part of a rebuild in New England. I think they do. You know what I mean? My gut says they do, but I think it was very convenient that what happened to the market, it didn't go the way they expected. And at that point, they kind of heel turn and say, you know what, Justin, where do you want to go? We're going to do right by you. We're going to make sure we spin this in the PR. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm coming from when I say this smells a little bit. It comes across a little hypocritical to me. But and on the same lines, you mentioned and you made some great points about how they didn't draft a quarterback number one overall last year. And they drafted Darnell Wright and they got DJ Moore. Wouldn't you say Justin took a step forward in year three? Like, I thought in his third year, he took a step forward. Wasn't perfect, but I think we started to see at the end of the year when he came back from the injury that he was starting to have a little moxie there. We were starting to see something in the Bears and people were getting excited about it. I think all the way up until week 18 against Green Bay, people were feeling pretty good about it. So I think he took a little bit of a step forward in year three. I selfishly would love to see what he looks like next year with all these new weapons too, right? We're not going to see it, but I don't know. I think it's a little too convenient that the market kind of crumbled and then they kind of made the turn at the end that say, Justin, where do you want to go? Let's work with you here. And they let him kind of block potential trades. I thought that was just all a little too convenient, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I think that whatever the other offer was, I think that it wasn't as, there wasn't a big difference between it. I don't think maybe it was a fourth round pick, like maybe it was a fifth round pick compared to a conditional sixth, where you can like, it's like, okay, at this point, let's just, we know we can't keep him on the roster. We can't hold him on the roster through the draft, where, you know, some, they probably could have just kept him. And there would be a desperate team on draft night who doesn't get their quarterback. And maybe they're like, okay, we just need somebody. Let's give us Justin here. What do you want? So then maybe you get more for him at that point. But obviously, it's not what's best for Justin. It's not what it would be best for Caleb Williams for that locker room. So, I mean, I understand that. Yeah, I don't think it was too significant of a difference that you could – It did work out perfectly for them in that regard, that because like you said, if someone's offering like a straight up fourth compared to the conditional six, you're going to take the fourth round pick. Like, it's not even close. It's a business. You have to. But in terms of, I mean, I understand, because we've talked about this. We both wanted them to stick with Justin Fields, right? Because we think obviously the value of trading that number one pick and what you could get as a return, we saw what that did for the Bears last year and who you've gotten so far: DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, the first round pick this year. I'm sorry, number one pick this year. And then you still had next year's second round pick. And that was just for Bryce Young. Like, come on. Like, now with Caleb Williams up there, imagine what you could have gotten. So, I mean, that was enticing in itself too. But I think we have to remember that Ryan Poles didn't draft Justin Fields. This is a decision Ryan Poles already passed on CJ Stroud last year.
Bingo.
He could not have this happen for a second straight year where you pass on a stud quarterback. If Caleb Williams goes out there and balls, and you passed on both Stroud and Williams, and Justin Fields doesn't take that step forward, and then you're looking to pay him next year. I think it makes sense from a business point of view. And I think it's something, because this is Ryan Poles' job right on the line. He's building this team the way that he wants to. He knows that it's a process that's going to take several years, right? We saw that's what happens when you strip it down entirely. And already in year three, which, listening to Kevin Warren, especially at the end of year press conference, where he spoke at length about the importance of hitting that year three. And that's when things really start to take off for, you know, this new regime. So this is going to be really, really big for them. So I don't know if Ryan Poles was willing to bet his job on Justin Fields taking that step to the point where they could pay him that franchise quarterback money next year. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's like you said, I really hope that Justin goes out and he balls out and proves all the critics wrong. But it just makes sense that you start over. And I think, because we've talked about, like, in terms of putting a rookie quarterback in a favorable position, obviously I think it would have been best if they had moved on from Matt Eberflus and started over with a new head coach, because there is some uncertainty there about if the Bears do struggle this year. I think that Eberflus is out, at least. I don't think Poles is. I think obviously the GM is going to get time to see Caleb Williams out, but we don't want to be in a situation next year where the head coach is fired and your rookie quarterback has to learn another offense. So, I mean, or your second year quarterback has to learn another offense in a second year. So that, we don't want to repeat of what happened with Fields. But right now, as things are looking for Caleb, this is probably the best situation that a number one pick quarterback has ever had. So, I mean, that's definitely encouraging.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's going to be thrusted into some wild expectations as we hit Caleb time in Chicago. And I do want to get on that just to put a bow on the field stuff. I had one more thing I wanted to throw at you, Alyssa. And it's just like this whole, the commentary on what happened to the trade market. And you kind of said that you think Fields is a starter and not a backup. And I agree 100%. You can't convince me that there's 32 quarterbacks better than Justin Fields in the NFL right now. There's not. He's, you know, has he been the most consistent player? No. And that's on him. And that's why he was moved ultimately. But, you know, he's had flashes of brilliance, but that's the thing. We keep using that word, flashes, right? There had to be more consistency there. It wasn't there. And that's on Justin. But I mean, the market and this whole thing where, like, this is the market is the market, 31 other teams view Fields as a backup, and this is why the market deteriorated. I don't agree with that. I know a lot of people are saying that, but I think, I don't know if I want to blame the Bears here, but I think they should have, We always talk about Ryan Poles and the Bears holding the cards close to their vest, right, Alyssa, playing poker, and we don't know what they're going to do. But I think in this case, we kind of knew what they were going to do, right? Like, even when the Bears were, we can like move up and down the timeline a little bit. Like, even when the Bears were making their little run there at the end of last year, we could kind of feel what was coming. You know, as soon as that pick was solidified, as soon as Carolina helped the Bears get that number one overall selection, I think it started. And we all kind of, if you asked anybody, even the most staunch field supporters, the expectation was, yeah, they're probably going to draft Caleb Williams. And if they do that, Fields isn't going to be here, right? And I think we knew that during the end of last regular season. I think we knew that when the new league year started. I think we knew it during the scouting combine. And I think we knew that. So didn't the other 31 teams know that too, right? Like, if I'm, again, going back to that Patriots example, because I'm so pissed at them for not trading for Justin Fields. The Patriots are my team. I'm so mad at them, Alyssa. Going back to that Patriots example, why, if I'm Elliott Wolf in the Patriots, am I going to offer the Bears a first round pick like Mel Kiper, you know, blew up our skirts, or you know, like a day two pick in 2025, like the Bears originally wanted, according to Courtney Cronin? Like, why am I offering that deal when I know you're not going to keep Fields anyway? I already know that market is, you know, in my favor. I don't have to go and offer you that because we all know you're not keeping the player. So you're ultimately going to move Fields. So I'm not going to give you my best offer. Like, you know what I mean? So I think the Bears were already at a disadvantage. I think it's more of that than the other NFL teams not thinking Fields is a good quarterback. You know what I mean? I just think the market was what it was, but it doesn't necessarily tell us that Fields sucks. You know, I think we saw some good things in year three. He finally had a real receiver. Again, like, Darnell Mooney was his best receiver in year two. Like, he looked pretty good with DJ Moore, didn't he? You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to see, you know, again, this is building here, that what was around Fields was getting better year after year. He probably would have looked pretty good in Chicago in 2024. And I just think, again, the market deteriorating, I don't put that on Justin. You know what I mean? Like, some people are reporting out there. That's just that last little take I want to get off my chest.
No, I actually agree with you because, I mean, you said it before I could too. Like, we I think the last time we had appeared on this show, we were talking about just how impressive it had been that no one knew what the Bears were going to do, and like how Ryan Poles was holding the cards close to the vest. And no, like at that point when we were talking, no one knew whether he was going to keep the pick or trade it. And then at the combine, I think that's when everything changed because I noticed something different. I know a lot of Bears fans and media did as well, where it just sounded different than the previous year, where he went up there and he was talking about actually trading Justin Fields, when last year those weren't words that he was using, right? Yep. That wasn't even mentioned, but he was talking about active scenarios about this. And then, like, if we do opt to trade him, we want to do right by him. So, like, the way that he was talking, I think that he showed his cards there. And I think that's the moment where it all changed when, you know, going into it, I remember the first, like one of the first reports to come out of the combine before Ryan Poles even met with the media, I think it was Monday night, and Poles met with the media on Tuesday, was the Falcons were showing a lot of interest in trading for Justin Fields, right? And that was like, and then maybe a deal could get done as soon as that week. So that was something like leading into it. And then once Ryan Poles kind of stepped to the podium there and he really showed his hand, and anyone who watched that and listened to it knew it was like, oh yeah, no, they're moving on from Fields. It's just, you know, a matter of finally getting to meet with Caleb Williams in their 15-minute meeting and then hosting him on a top 30 visit and just kind of like making sure about the person. That was something what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus had talked about during their press conferences, about the person being just as important as the player. I feel like we all know they were sold on the player already. They just wanted to make sure that Caleb, the person, was good. And I think a lot of that was cleared up at the combine as well. But yeah, I think that that was when like Ryan Poles was a little too open. And he's someone who's been really good at saying a lot, but not really giving a lot away. But I think that was one of the missteps for him right there, because he really did show, I think if you watch that press conference, you come away from it knowing that they're going to, that they were going to trade Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's perfectly said. I have nothing to add to that. It was perfectly said. Why does the market crumble? It's because we all know you're moving the player. So we're not going to give up our best offer. And that does crumble the market. Now, I'm still surprised it got all the way down to a conditional sixth. That could turn into a fourth.
That was the same for Mac Jones, right? Like just a six.
It was a straight up six round pick for Mac Jones. Yeah. Yep.
Jesus.
So, yeah. Somebody try to convince me that Mac Jones is better than Justin Fields. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'd rather have Fields. And even like Trey Lance, like he got a fourth round pick from the Cowboys last year. So that's another one from the same draft class. So Fields is too good to be lumped in with some of these deals. But that's just how it worked out. And I agree. I think the Bears showed their hand a little bit and ultimately led to the market crumbling and them, you know, doing right by Justin and sending him to Pittsburgh for a really crappy return on what was a big investment by the franchise. But it all brings us to what's coming next, right? Alyssa, we can't dwell on this. It's Caleb time, we think. And he's not a Bear yet. All signs point to him being a Bear. And as you said, what they've built around Caleb Williams, or the next quarterback X, Caleb Williams, he's going to be put in a really good situation. Are the Bears going to be ready to win right away? Right, Alyssa, this is where I think the conversation is going to switch to that, right? That the Bears should be winning more games than they lose, that they should be contending for the playoffs. I'm seeing articles about Super Bowl odds and stuff, and it's like, whoa. We do need to like make sure we're being realistic here as fans, right? And make sure we're giving Caleb a little bit of rope, right, Alyssa? Like, he's not immediately going to be Patrick Mahomes like people have been comparing him to. It's very unlikely that he has a season like CJ Stroud just had in 2023. And just to backtrack a little bit, you absolutely nailed it. It's CJ Stroud's fault that Fields cannot be in Chicago anymore. The season that Stroud had last year forced Ryan Poles to make this move. I 100% believe that. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams, right? He's going to be playing in a place where football really matters. Sorry, you're not going to be with the Washington Commanders, Caleb. You're going to be in Chicago where it really, really matters. Everything you do is going to be scrutinized and covered and picked apart. People are going to question if you really want to be here based on some of, you know, what you've talked about in the past. You can like all the Bear stuff you want now, but there are, you know, people are going to glom on to what happened months ago. That's just the way of the internet now. There's going to be some nasty weather in Chicago. How are you going to handle that? There's going to be bad stretches. How are you going to handle that? The expectations are going to be high, you know, so all of this is coming. What's your gut telling you about the first season, the expectations? Are the Bears ready to win right away, build on last year, do better? Like, what are you expecting?
I think I'm expecting them to compete for the playoffs. This is my expectation last year too, but this is such a better roster than it was last year. And I know you're swapping the quarterbacks out, but I mean, I'm trying not to get overhyped because this is the off season. There's still plenty of more moves to be made. The Bears still need to address edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat and the interior defensive line just to make me feel a little bit better. But when you really break it down, this is a really good Bears team. Like, this is probably the best that it's been in a long time. And, you know, again, Ryan Poles has spent time really building this roster up. You look at on offense specifically, because we're talking about Caleb Williams. When you look at with the free agency moves that have been made, you have weapons. You have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. You have DeAndre Swift. You have Cole Kmet. You have an offensive line that's really showed progress, and you can continue to add to that offensive line. You know, we're going to see about center. They have a couple of options on the roster. They could add another option in the draft, although they only have four draft picks right now. So I think that you're going to see some trades to accumulate more. And then you look on defense, which I think it's already a top 10 defense. I think when you start the lead with the potential to be a top five unit, when you look at their secondary, I think could be one of the best in the league. When you look at just the depth that they have, especially at cornerback, and then what they did at safety, adding Kevin Byard in free agency, and then getting more depth in Jonathan Owens. Oh, hey, by the way, welcome to Chicago, Simone Biles. Happy to have you. You look at that, and then, I mean, I think the linebackers obviously is a strength, just that group right there. Montez Sweat coming back for his second season. That the only thing I'm really concerned about is that defensive line, and I think that that'll be something Ryan Poles addresses in the draft through the rest of free agency. So, but when you look at this roster as a whole, this is the best that it's been in a very long time, and perhaps the best situation that a number one overall quarterback has come into in a very long time, or perhaps ever. So this, like, we talk about the importance of situation, and it's a complete contrast to what Justin Fields came into in his rookie year, where it was a mess. And it was the last year, like, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace should have been fired that offseason before they were able to make that selection of Justin Fields, right? And then you could have had a chance to start over or to build a situation that was ideal for a rookie quarterback coming in. And I think for Caleb, why would he not want to come to Chicago at this point when you look at all the potential landing spots in the top three? You have Chicago, you have Washington, you have New England. And I think without a doubt, and I can't believe I'm saying this, that Chicago is the best situation for him. And I think he sees that now too. I see, like, I noticed him on Twitter, you know, liking some of those tweets about like some of the new weapons that the Bears mm-hmm. have added and stuff like that. But I just think I'm not expecting perfection. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. Like, there are going to be rookie growing pains. It's the acclimation part to the NFL, but he's surrounded by a veteran group, especially at receiver too, with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, which is just insane that they were able to go out and get him. Keenan Allen is a quarterback's best friend. He helped make that transition for Justin Herbert in Los Angeles just as seamless. So, I mean, I think that just all the veteran leadership on that team, he doesn't have to step in immediately and be that guy, right? That leader, he can work up to that. But I think that he will have the supporting cast and the support around him, where I'm expecting success. I'm not, you know, expecting him to be perfect. I'm not expecting a CJ Stroud year. But I will say I wouldn't be surprised either.
No, that was a very, level-headed response, Alyssa. I wonder how many Bears fans are going to have that same thing, that feeling. Because, you're right. The situation it feels really good, right? And it feels like expectations could get out of control here pretty quickly, you know, as the excitement builds
in either direction too.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, he could suck for a few games to start because he's a rookie. And people could lose their minds and say, we should have kept Justin Fields. You know what I mean? Like, that could easily happen, but, that's just, you know, he's a rookie. It's year one. Expectations need to be tempered, but it does feel like folks are either so pissed about Fields or so starved for things to change here, Alyssa, that Caleb isn't going to get the grace that he deserves in year one. So I'm hoping he does get that from Chicago. And I think we'll figure it out. As a group, as a collective group of people that follow Bears football, I think we'll all figure it out together. But you mentioned Keenan Allen. He's not going to hurt, right? He's not going to hurt. I love this player. I just love receivers that know how to get open and catch the football. So mm-hmm. Keenan Allen is, you know, when the Bears pick up this player for, what was it, a fourth round pick, right? It just feels that feels like an excellent move. He'll go over the middle. I guess the only worry about Keenan Allen is that he's definitely on the backside of his career. He's 31. This will be his 12th season in the NFL in 2024, if you can believe that. 12 years already for Keenan Allen. And he only played 23 total games over the last 2 years. So there's been some wear and tear, some injuries, but he's clearly got some good football left, right, Alyssa? Because he caught 108 balls in 13 games last year. So there's definitely some good years left in Keenan Allen. And I think the reason I love this move the most is that you're adding like a true veteran receiver to the locker room who's going to be just as hungry as everybody else in your locker room, because in his 11 previous NFL seasons, Keenan Allen has only played in 5 playoff games. He's been stuck in San Diego and Los Angeles, the Chargers. He's been stuck out there. He was stuck with Brandon Staley. You know what I mean? Like, he's been the poor guy. He's dying to win just like everybody else. And it's just like that perfect guy that can help get you over the hump a little bit, a veteran who's hungry to win, like all of that. So I love the player. I love the move. Feels like not a lot of risk and a ton of potential reward here. Now he's older, so there's that. And it, you know, he could be injury plagued and it might not work out. But again, I don't think there's a lot of risk there. The Keenan Allen move is, out of all of the ones, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, some of these moves they made, Alyssa, Keenan Allen was my favorite by far. I love the player, and I think it's, you know, again, not a lot of risk, but a ton of potential reward. I'm in.
Oh, absolutely. And then you factor in, oh, wait, they also still have DJ Moore on the roster.
Have
too,
we checked so. On DJ, though, Alyssa? I know he was like, he was the, at the front of the picket lines for Justin Fields. So have we heard from him?
He did the business tweet. You could see, we did a collection on Bears Wire of all the player reactions, and it was sad.
Tepid.
Because they understand it's a business, but at the same time, you're losing a brother, a friend, a teammate. And So, I mean, it was sad, but, you know, DJ, I think that he's had some time too, probably to get used to the idea. And I think that he's going to be a consummate professional. He's going to help Caleb or whichever rookie, right, is joining.
He's not demanding a Bears trade to Pittsburgh or anything like that. Okay, good.
Gosh, heck no. They're building something special in Chicago. You can't do that.
He loves Justin, though. I know, DJ Moore. I really enjoyed his campaign for Justin.
There was something really interesting too that I watched. I came across last night where you have to check it out on YouTube. It's Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen show, and he had this message for Bears fans, you know, dealing with the, you know, Justin Fields being traded and all that. And he showed a clip back, I think it was in January 2018, when the Chiefs were making the transition from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. And they had Travis Kelce on. He had Travis Kelce on his show, and Travis was talking about, I can't envision getting in the huddle with anyone other than Alex Smith and all this. And we know Pat's going to do good, but it just won't be the same. And then obviously now look, right? We don't think of Alex Smith when we're thinking of Travis Kelce. We think of Kelce and Mahomes too. So, I mean, obviously it's going to hurt on a personal level, but you do understand it's a business. I think Caleb will go in there for all of the rumors that were out there about Caleb as a person and his character. I think a lot of that has been squashed, and I think that Caleb will go in there and, you know, win his teammates over. He'll have to earn it, obviously, but then we could be talking about maybe Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen, right? They're the next big thing in the NFL, so we'll have
not
to
bad.
See. But I mean, but yeah, like you said, Keenan Allen. I mean, I'm a fan of that. I mean, you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, they're one of the best receiving duos in the NFL. Like, how could that not be a more perfect situation for a rookie quarterback coming in? It's just, and you have Cole Kmet out there too. There's a chance that you probably could have Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers there at number 9 for you too. So then you add them, that would be just incredible. And it's crazy that the Bears are making moves like that. I really do feel like, you know, with Ryan Poles, I know obviously some people have given him flack for the Fields thing, but that's, you know, a lot of the pro Fields crowd. But Ryan Poles, I mean, outside of maybe the two trades to the Steelers, right?
Claypool. Yeah.
Right. It's just the Steelers have got his number. So just still, if you see them calling, do not pick up.
Exactly.
So outside of that, I think what he's been able to do so far, and, you know, heading into his third season, what he's done in 2 years or 2.5 already has been really impressive. So, and adding Keenan Allen, like you said, that was my favorite move, a free agency as well. If we're not counting re-signing Jalen Johnson, because that was my favorite because he deserved it and I'm so happy for him. And I know we'll get to that as well, but yeah, just having Keenan Allen, who I think, you know, he's obviously not the long-term solution, but he's someone that I do think, and he alluded to it as well, I don't think you give up a 4th-round pick for him just to be here this year. I think there's a contract extension maybe for a couple of years coming up. And Keenan Allen even said that he wouldn't be here if he didn't think he would be with the Bears past this year. So he'll be here for a couple of years. And then that way you can go and maybe you get a Dunze or Nabers in the draft, or next year you go and you get a receiver that you can pair with DJ Moore and you keep giving Caleb those weapons. So, I mean, it's a really good situation, I think, all around. And DJ Moore and Keenan Allen both had 1,000 yards last year. I mean, I think that Caleb Williams can break Bears' single season passing record that I believe Eric Kramer has in his rookie year, which would be insane, and maybe become the first Bears quarterback ever to throw for 4,000 yards. I mean, there's just so many weapons galore that the Bears have. It's really, Ryan, I'm having a hard time dealing with it. Just the way that Ryan Poles has actually built this roster up, it's shocking to me.
There it is. The expectations are already getting out of control. Alyssa. See, you gotta try to rein it in. No, I hear you.
I'm reining it in.
It's exciting. You could add DeAndre Swift to it now. DeAndre Swift, it's just the running back position in general. It's been it was a really fascinating year for free agent running backs. It really was. There were so many of them out there. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Swift. This move, I was more fired up about Keenan Allen than I was DeAndre Swift. I mean, I know some people are upset about the $8 million average annual value of the contract, the 3 years, $8 million a year. For me, it's I think the salary cap can be manipulated and maneuvered. I'm not really worried about the cap. I think the Bears have plenty of cap space anyway, so the money, I don't care. I'm fine with it. The only thing that worries me about DeAndre Swift is that he's bounced around a little bit, right? Detroit used a really good draft pick on him. I think it was an early second round pick on him. but they were happy to let him go because he was often injured. He had a really good year in Philadelphia, kind of resurrected his, you know, his status a little bit, but Philly let him go. So, I mean, I don't know, a player bounces around this much in early in his career, it makes you a little weary, but he can catch the football, and he had a really good year with Philly last season running the football when he was given the opportunity. It was really strange. I remember they played the, you know, I'm a Patriots fan. The Eagles played the Patriots in week one, and DeAndre Swift wasn't their starting running back in that game. It was really strange. They had one of their other like third down backs playing, you know, exclusively was the top guy. So there's always been something going on with DeAndre Swift that I can't put my finger on, but when he does get his opportunities and he's healthy, he's a pretty damn good back. So I don't like, I'm not fired up about this one. I'm not like, I don't love it. You know, I'm not like going crazy about it, but DeAndre Swift doesn't hurt you either. You know what I mean? Like, I think his ability to catch the football, especially, is just going to open things up for everyone. So, I feel fine with this one. I'm not pissed about the money either. I'm not somebody who, you know, bitches and moans about contracts anyway. Unless I'm just not that guy. I'm not wired like that. But what do you think about DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that when you look at the Bears, like, they made it clear, like, from all the reports, was that they wanted to add a dynamic running back to that group, which made sense because I think at that point they had decided to move on from Justin Fields. And when you look at their run game, which has been top two the last 2 years, Fields was a huge part of that. So you have to replace that production. So I think that that made a lot of sense going out and getting an established veteran running back. There were reports that they were very interested in Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. There was mutual interest there. But those guys, as we saw, ended up going for a lot more than DeAndre Swift. And we know Ryan Poles, he loves his bargain shopping, right? Even when it comes to, you know,
don't we all?
Like, and you're getting a high quality player too at running back and DeAndre Swift too. So I like the move because when you look at, and I obviously what I just said, like, you have to replace that production when you're losing Justin Fields. And I just like what Swift kind of brings to the table because you mentioned too, he hasn't always kind of just stayed put and been like the number one guy. And he doesn't have to do that because when you're coming to Chicago, yes, he's going to be the starter, but this is a committee approach. You're coming to a Chicago running backs room that also has Khalil Herbert, who has been a starter in the past, and Roschon Johnson, who has also showed that he can step in and be a starter when needed. And they each have their own unique strengths and skill sets that I think really complements each other well. So if DeAndre Swift, who, you know, he's had some injury struggles, if he happens to go down for a couple games, I think Khalil Herbert can step in, Roschon Johnson can step in. You can rotate them there. But like you said, I do like the one aspect that I think is huge too, and I think speaks a lot, is that he is a receiving threat out of the backfield, which is something that they've been missing, right? We saw that last year, Deontay Foreman was also in the running back room. You know, like, it's like each back had their own unique skill set. I think that DeAndre Swift is probably the most complete of all of them that brings the most to the table, but you will see a nice, you know, nice blend of all three of them in the run game there. But I do like what Swift will bring to the passing game, which I think will be an emphasis moving forward. Obviously, they're going to lean on the run a little bit, especially with a rookie quarterback coming in. You don't want to put a lot of pressure on him. But I do think just having that explosive threat from DeAndre Swift to complement an already dangerous receiving core with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and then a tight end group with Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. I mean, I just think there's going to be so many options on offense, and people are going to forget about DeAndre Swift a little just because there's so much going on that offense.
Yeah, I'm more into DeAndre Swift type than Foreman. And I liked Foreman last year, but like the whole like sledgehammer, like running down your throat, like right up the middle thing. Like, I'm more into the, like the Swiss Army knife type of back. So the Bears moving to that direction, I'm into it. I don't hate it. Again, it could be Swift, it could be another guy. That's fine. But you know, DeAndre Swift, I think there's definitely some upside there. There's some untapped potential with that player if he can stay healthy. So I'm in on that as well. You mentioned Gerald Everett. Shane Waldron guy, right? I've read about that a little bit, that he's got connections to Shane Waldron. So that's good. Another Charger. So, you know, people just dying to get out of the Chargers. Alyssa, these guys are going to be...
Thanks, Jim Harbaugh. I knew yeah, you're my dude.
These guys are going to be excited to have fans, I think. Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen. Like, they've never been on a team with fans before. So this is like, I don't know if their Chargers fans exist. It's gonna be a little different playing in Chicago. But Gerald Everett, you know, add some depth behind Cole Kmet. Yeah, but like you said, that dude's a pass-catching tight end, right? That's what he does. He gets out there in the passing game. So you could see, like, you know, people are saying, oh, this is a great situation for Caleb Williams. It really is. They're putting all of these pass catchers around him. So he should be able to complete the football and gain yards, right? Like, this is, he's going to have guys, playmakers all around him. Even his depth guys like Gerald Everett. I mean, that guy can catch you three or four balls in a game.
Yeah, and like I said, like before, and it's, I don't think it's high expectations necessarily. To you, it might sound high, but when I was saying that, you know, Caleb could break the Bears single season, you know, franchise passing record, it's not very high. There's been no Bears quarterback that's ever thrown for 4,000 yards. So like, and you see that all the time now, like that should be a realistic expectation. So like, I don't like, I mean, at that point, I think it is realistic for Caleb Williams. And you look at all of these weapons on offense and it's just everywhere that you look at receiver, and you could still add to that group tight end, and you're going to see Shane Waldron utilize a lot of those two tight end sets too. So I think that was important. I would like to see the Bears bring back Mercedes Lewis. He is open to coming back for a 19th season, right? The ageless wonder, Mercedes Lewis, just because he was so important in the blocking for the Bears, and he did such a great job of it last year. So that's one Packer that I would like to have back.
I'm on the stunned Bears. You're saying that. I honestly am. That's Aaron Rodgers' favorite player, I think, Mercedes Lewis.
He was one of mine too last year. Just like what he did as a blocker is just like he's still one of the best at 40. Or almost 40 or whatnot. So at tight end. And then running back too, like there's so many weapons that I think it's not crazy to say that Caleb Williams could come in here and break the team's single season passing record and maybe throw for 4,000 yards for the first time in franchise history. So it's just, again, like it's being set up perfectly. So, I mean, I feel like you want to say no excuses, but he is a rookie. So we have to remember that when we're evaluating him. This isn't Justin Fields in year four coming in, right? I think it would be different. Then it would be like, no excuses, Justin, but you do have a rookie coming in. So there will be an acclimation period. But I think having this veteran group around him and a lot of talent will help make this as seamless as possible for a rookie quarterback.
Oh, for sure. And I was just giving you crap when I was talking about your expectations. Okay. Don't worry, Alyssa. Don't take that as, you know, face value there. But yeah, no, it's gonna be really, like, I can't wait. It's all gonna be playing out under a huge microscope, intense microscope with Caleb, right? He's gonna be throwing in windier conditions than he's used to. He's gonna be playing in colder weather than he's used to. He's gonna be, you know, playing with this, like, I don't want to say it, just passionate fan base. That's the right word. I think a passionate fan base that wants him and the team to succeed. And,
rowdy. I think he used rowdy.
Rowdy.
I think
rowdy.
Like what he was talking about.
I like
he's
that.
Like Bears fans can get rowdy. And
that's
like,
right.
Yes, we can.
So how do you handle that, Caleb, when it gets a little rowdy? You know what I mean? Cause they'll get rowdy and they'll let you know it. So, yeah, all of that. It's going to be, so fun to watch that play out. But yeah, to your point, we have to find a way to not get overly pissed and give the kid some rope, because he's going to be a rookie and it's not going to be perfect. And we're going to have to work through all that stuff. And ultimately that might hold the Bears back from some of these crazy expectations that are flying around out there, but hopefully we're heading in the right direction. I think we are. This roster is very exciting and it's going to get hopefully even better in the draft. It definitely got better with Jalen Johnson getting extended. We've mentioned this a couple times. What changed here? Because last year at the trade deadline, Jalen Johnson wanted out and they were nowhere close on a deal, Alyssa. And then we get to this offseason and they slapped the franchise tag on him. And a couple days later, they're giving him this massive extension. So like Jalen Johnson won this negotiation and I'm applauding it. I think it's great. Great for him. It's great for the Bears, right? Like, we mentioned this earlier. This is the kind of message you want to give to your locker room. We don't want our best homegrown players, guys that we drafted. And I know Poles didn't draft Jalen Johnson, but like, we don't want our homegrown talent getting away. You know, we don't. We want to draft, develop, and then build our roster that way. Drafting and developing. That's the best way to do it. So, I applaud this, but it's crazy. Like this one, the drama ends with a huge extension. It's like, wow, I didn't see that coming at the trade deadline last year. I honestly did not.
Yeah, and I think this is the best thing that could have happened for Jalen Johnson too, because we looked at the timing of it. It was during the trade deadline, right at the deadline when they went out and they acquired Montez Sweat. And you know, we saw Montez Sweat when he came to Chicago, his impact on that defense and how everything shifted.
Wow.
And the complete turnaround. You saw Jalen Johnson go off, right? And he really, really solidified that Pro Bowl All-Pro year that he had. So I think, obviously, like, if the Bears had locked him up at the trade deadline, it would have been a heck of a lot more affordable for the Bears, and Jalen wouldn't have gotten paid what he probably would have wanted to. So now, like, you know, obviously getting to play out the rest of the year where he just, where he set, he had a career year, obviously, setting career highs in interceptions and just establishing himself as the best cover corner in the NFL. Just, I think that helped his value a lot. And he was like, now this is what I am worth. You got to pay me it. You could have had me cheaper. But hey, you didn't want to pay me then, so now I get to reap the benefits. So I'm happy for him because he deserves it. And what I really liked listening to his press conference too, when he met with the media, it was during free agency. So it was, I think it was the Monday before everything just kind of, you know, got really busy. So I didn't get to cover it a whole lot. But one of the things I really liked that he talked about when he got up there, and he was asked about, okay, you got paid. He's like, you know, I'm still, now, even though I've gotten paid, I'm still looking to prove everyone wrong. When I line up, you know, opposite a receiver, in my head, I'm thinking that they think I'm not good enough to stop them. So he's always looking to prove everyone wrong, even though he's gotten paid now, because we see when guys get paid, sometimes the production drops off a little bit. But he's someone who's even more motivated now that he has gotten paid, and he's going to keep trying to prove people wrong and be the best that he can be in that. Like, you want a guy like that in your locker room, on your team, leading what is a young ascending secondary. So really excited. I think he was a key part too that they had to bring back, because this defense, I think, is ready to really take a step forward this year. And we saw how strong they finished out last year. I think they can be even better. I think they will be even better, especially you look at that secondary. Jalen Johnson is a big part of that.
Yep, absolutely. They need to, right? The defense needs to. I mean, I hear a lot of people already, they're calling the Bears a top 10 defense, but a lot of that was at that latter part of the season. So they need to continue that. They got to keep that thing going. I think that's a big reason why Eberflus is still here. And they need it. They need it. That's going to help the whole situation with the rookie quarterback as well going forward. So that's where we're at, right? Fields is now a Steeler. We got to move on from that thing. Finally, we've been talking about that, I think, since last October. You know, Alyssa,
I'm so
like,
glad, Ryan.
We've been
so
talking
glad.
About it forever. Honestly, like, I know it became like this huge national thing over the last month or so, where every time you turned on NFL Network or ESPN, they're talking about Fields or Caleb Williams. But we've been doing this forever on the show. So, like, I'm glad to have the resolution, although I did find the whole thing to be like, boy, I thought this ending was going to be a little bit more juicy than it actually ended up being. You know, like, Fields is gone. He's going to sit this year behind Russell Wilson randomly, and the Bears are only getting a conditional 6th-round pick back. What? You know, I did not expect that, but that's where we're at. And now we can finally move forward, and we can really start getting into the Caleb Williams stuff and start learning more about him and what's going on. I think his pro day, you're getting ready to cover that tomorrow, right? The pro day at USC. Yes. So yeah. So there's just so much, like, it's Caleb time in Chicago, but I feel like I got pretty much everything off my chest. We promised everyone we wouldn't go 3 hours. We're at about the hour mark now. Is there anything left you want to get off your chest before we let the people go?
Oh, but like you said, I mean, I'm so excited for it to be over. I mean, I'm sad to see Justin go, because he's just been a consummate professional since day one when he stepped in, and all of the times when he could have complained, because let's be real, like, he was not dealt a fair hand at all. And the one time that he wasn't even he wasn't even making a dig. He was just talking it out in his head, and verbally, like, when he threw the coaches under the bus, like, not actually, but it did sound like it. But he handled himself in 3 years, just, I want to thank him, because he made that 3-14 season, oh my God, he made that, like, somehow bearable.
They were fun,
like,
to watch. They were fun
it
to watch that
fun.
Year.
And they won 3 games that year. So, like, if not for him, I'm writing the same story over and over, just, like, not caring at all. It could drag out, because it kind of felt like that at the beginning of last year, especially when Fields was hurt, when you didn't have that to kind of cover. So, but just, I'm sad to see Fields go, but I'm just so excited, like you said. I'm so done with the quarterback debate. Like, I'm over it. It's been the same. It's been the only thing that I've done since joining Bears Wire 5 years ago. Just, it's always a quarterback debate, it feels like. So just excited to step into, for the Bears to step into their Caleb Williams era, and to see what he has. And, you know, this is a really good situation. Again, we're managing expectations both ways. But, you know, looking right now on paper at this situation, it does look really good. So this could be a really exciting year for Bears fans. We'll see. And down the line, I don't know, maybe, again, I said maybe, and I said down the line, I don't know, maybe they could actually turn this whole thing around and do the unthinkable and get back to the Super Bowl. Who knows? We'll see. I know I'm excited to get to know Caleb Williams a little bit more and more about his game, watching his highlights. He's just obviously an incredible athlete and incredible player. And I think listening to him and how he wants to be a legend in this game, already I'm a fan. I like that. I like that he's been studying up on Michael Jordan and Walter Payton and wanting to not only leave a lasting impact, but to like have legendary status like that in a city like this. If Caleb Williams wins a Super Bowl for the Bears, he will be a legend for life, just in that for life. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting to think about like where it could be headed. I do feel like I had similar thoughts about Justin Fields, but I think the difference is the situation, right? You look at Patrick Mahomes, right, in the situation he went to in Kansas City, and we talked about it. If the Bears had drafted Mahomes, I think he's still good, but he's not the Patrick Mahomes we know, because he would have come to a terrible situation. So, I mean, it's going to be exciting to kind of cover this new chapter in Bears history, and we'll see where it goes. But my goodness, Ryan, it's been a busy few weeks, and we're not even at the draft yet, which is just going to be insane.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. The Bears do still pick number one overall and twice in the first 10. So,
and then they only have four picks right now, but I'm sure that'll change.
Well, they still could trade that number one overall pick, Alyssa, and start Tyson Bagent.
Oh my God, don't do that, Ryan.
They could just start Tyson Bagent. You wait, stop. There will be some random Bears blogger will come out with the Tyson Bagent should start over Caleb in year one take, and I can't wait to share that with you when I find it. I'm going to scour the internet for it.
I'm already getting like, I've seen like some remarks about everyone's like, oh, maybe the Bears should draft JJ McCarthy here. I'm a Michigan fan, so I love JJ, but hell no,
no,
like, no, you like, no, like nope. Whoever gets him, like, I hope it's not the Vikings. I mean, I think that he has a lot of potential. You haven't seen his ceiling because he didn't get to do a whole lot under Jim Harbaugh where they ran the ball. But I mean, I think he can be good. Just please don't go to the Vikings or a rival. But I think it's Caleb Williams for the Bears at number one, and I don't think it's a debate.
Yep, and that's what we get to focus on moving forward. Thank God. Thank God, as you said.
Thank you.
And yes, and if Caleb wins a Super Bowl with the Bears, he'll have a statue bigger than Curly Lambeau's over in Green Bay. I think that's going to happen. That'll happen. So there it is, a wordy podcast for you all. We hope you enjoyed it. We always appreciate you hopping on board again. Our shows kind of come randomly. We're weekly during the season, but kind of random in the off season. So subscribing is the best way to keep in touch with us. Let us know what you think, as always. And for Alyssa Barbieri, I'm Ryan O'Leary. We'll catch you next time.
And as always, bear down. And thank you, Justin.